You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Listening to the cycling podcast Femina, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Today we're in Pembrey Country Park.
Yeah, I'm driving the Commissaire President. I'm just literally 10 metres off the back of the peloton, and yesterday was one of the best races I've seen, men or women actually. The way that it split going over the mountain, and then the green jersey just not being able to hang on, and then the attack going over the top, it was bicycle racing of the highest standard. I'm behind the main group of 16, so they jumped away from that group, so I always stay behind with the radio tour and the Commissaire President, just behind the 16 or 17 that were trying to chase them down. It's a little bit selfish, but I probably have the best view of the entire race. So I can see everything. On the top of that last, on top of the mountain, it was like being on the top of the Pyrenees. It was that spectacular.
Who was that, Orla?
That was Tim Harris, who drives the Chief Commissaire's car at the Women's Tour and is a veteran of cycling, knows his beans, knows his onions when it comes to the
beans
old velo.
Onions.
Yeah, Cassoulet. His Cassoulet, if you like. Yeah,
well,
he's a cycling Cassoulet expert.
We're so continental. Both jumping in with the Cassoulet at the same time.
We spoke to Tim this morning at the start as they were lining up in the lovely little velodrome in Carmarthen, a beautiful facility. And it was a lovely day. The sun has been shining today on the Women's Tour. And Tim, obviously, as you said, has the best view of the race, really. And on the climb, we got told off for not saying the name of the climb, Epit. I think we neglected to say when we kept talking about the big climb on Friday's stage that it's called Epit, and it's a beast. And Tim had a great view all the way up there, and as we heard there, he thought it was a tremendous day's racing, which it was. I'm Richard Moore. That was Orla Shinawy, and we're with Rose Manley.
That sounds like I'm coming from the beyond, doesn't it? From the grave.
Rose Manley. So, final day of the Women's Tour today. Well, we've had a nice day, haven't we?
It's been a lovely day. It's been very civilised, hasn't it? Because we didn't have too much of a drive here from start to finish. Obviously, we took the shortcut. And it's been sunny for most of the day. And I get a very distorted vision of Wales every time I come, because almost every time I'm here, the sun is shining. And every Welsh person tells me that's just the way it is all
the
time.
That's wrong, though. We were here last time.
That's why I said almost every time. That was one of the few days that I've ever had rain in Wales. The only place I've ever suffered sunstroke was on a Welsh beach. There you go. And it's been lovely today.
So we're in Pembrey Country Park, and it's been very nice. It's a Saturday, obviously, so there's been a lot of people up here, lots of cycling clubs, lots of children, a great atmosphere.
A giant food stalls
and everything, and we saw a good stage, or, you know, learned about what was happening in the stage, obviously. That's the way we follow the Women's Tour. What did happen in the stage, Orla?
Well, as you say, a beautiful setting here in the Welsh sunshine, with the big stage set for the podium, all the cast of characters in place. It's like a Greek play in a garden, really. We're doing Dylan Thomas today, I should say. He's our theme for the day. He was buried in Carmarthen, wasn't he? Is that right?
Carmarthenshire.
So we're going on a Dylan Thomas literary adventure.
And his writing
Strap
hut.
Yourselves in.
His writing hut is there. So it's not just that he was buried there like Dusty.
Yes.
I'm going to have 15 whiskies over the course of
18,
this podcast.
18, he did. 18, yeah.
Okay.
But we'll not encourage that. You can have your can of Pepsi that's beside you and see it a lot less
die,
rock and
he
roll.
He did die when he was 39, so maybe it's not. Don't follow his lifestyle,
but we will follow his literary references, so spot them if you can. We did get chatting to some podcast listeners, didn't we, as we had our lunch before recording the press conference, which we've already done. I was hoping for a ballad of salad, but the chicken fajitas were lovely all the same. We were talking about nicknames in our press conference, and I've been thinking you can call me Dolores like they do in the stories. Anyway, to begin at the beginning, we had a really strong breakaway go early. 11 riders, including last year's winner, Corin Rivera, Grace Brown, Chantal Black, Hannah Barnes, Ellen Van Dyke, and Leah Thomas, amongst others. That breakaway then split into three groups, with a group of five becoming seven, with Rivera, Hannah Barnes, Ellen Van Dyke, Leah Thomas, Yannicka Ensing being joined by Chantal Black and Grace Brown. Now, from our country in Green Mountain, Black Mountain loomed, and they all took on Black Mountain together, but they were caught, those seven, after the descent. Now, we were wondering how much intermediate sprints would matter in the grand scheme of the race. Corin Rivera had taken the first intermediate sprint, so she secured the sprint's jersey with that. And Lizzie Deignan took a single second for third in the second intermediate sprint, which left her with a 2 seconds lead over Cassie and Evie Doma in the overall. And we had more attacks in the 25 remaining kilometres. The former race leader, Leanne Lippert, and Lizzie Banks trying to get away. They were joined by Martina Alzini and Charlotte Becker. They never really built up much of a lead, though. And as the race rushed to its conclusion, heading towards the Welsh coast, a prospect of sea and a sprint finish with Amy Peters, who started the day in third on GC, taking the stage win and a bonus 10 seconds, but that wasn't enough to overturn Lizzie Deignan's lead, who took her second women's tour, her first overall race win since becoming a mother. Her stage win yesterday in stage five was her first win since August 2017. So a phenomenal comeback for her, a true warrior, a soldier comes home, if you like, this being a British race. No rider has ever won the women's tour twice, and the ghost rose up to interrogate Deignan. Could she make history? Yes, she could. The first to win the race twice, a legacy that will last as long as forever. Cassie and Evie Adoma and her Canyon SRAM team gave it all and all to finish in second. Am I to understand Canyon SRAM led her out for an intermediate sprint, only for her to finish in fourth? We think that might be the case. Amy Peters finished in third with the overall. Christine Mazuris ended up in fourth, with Jamie Vollering fifth, for an adventure in a work in progress for her. It really feels like we're witnessing the arrival of a force to be reckoned with on the world stage. As for the jerseys, Lizzie Deignan took the points jersey as well as the overall. Cassie and Evie Adoma took Queen of the Mountains, Corin Rivera the sprints, and Deignan the best British as well. Trek won the best team, while Sarah Roy won the overall combativity prize. And of 156 riders, 27 of them failed to start today. And really, from the first declension of the flesh, it felt like they were dropping like flies at one stage. But we did have a strong field to finish in the end, and a wonderful battle. So that is the last of my stories of the stage. I feel I may need you both to grant me a period of recuperation. Our own women's tour is at an end. I think you'd be quite grateful, Richard. I suspect my vitality overwhelms you. So like your manners, I must leave. Not quite yet, because we still have half a podcast to do.
There's a sort of Eddie Butler quality to these stories of the stage, which is also appropriate given that we're in Wales. Those monologues that Eddie Butler does over the
rugby. I love his monologues, actually.
And we are, I should mention briefly before we move on, that we are in rugby country today. We and Gareth Enticote pointed this out. Gareth Enticote, I think, is the correct pronunciation. Went through the hometowns today of Gareth Edwards, Shane Williams, Barry John, Phil Bennett, Jonathan Davis, the referee Nigel Owens, and also the Lions coach Carwin James.
So, and they all gave us a wave, each and every one of them.
Just today.
Wow. Well, the race did. Very not impressive. Us, I think. We not bypassed us. Most
yeah,
of them.
Just, no, yeah.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
I think our Ratha bib shorts are one of the most important items of clothing we get. It's the main point of contact with the bike, and you spend hours and hours riding your bike, so you need to be comfortable and have the support that you get from them. Hi, I'm Alice Barnes and I race for Canyon SRAM Racing. I think the Ratha bib shorts are the best in the world.
We have a prize for you.
What?
I want something. You have been voted by the public.
Oh, really?
Well, it's actually a joint prize, because it was tied between you and Lizzie Banks, so you both get a t-shirt. The wow. Peddlers to cool. SRAM. A charming peddler.
Was charming, really? Charming peddler in the women's tour.
Really?
Yeah. Who said that?
We run a poll. And you were nominated for your reaction to Leanne's ride the other day, which we recorded, you know, when you were proud of her and all the rest of it. And then also your attempts to learn Welsh.
Lizzie, hello.
Hello.
Do you have a quick second?
Yeah, is that okay? Yeah.
Just very briefly, you've won a poll on our Twitter feed for Peddlers de Charme. You and Corin Rivera have been voted most charming peddlers of the women's tier.
What did I win?
So, you won a t-shirt.
Wow.
Which, do you think extra small or medium?
Extra small or medium. So is it for my cat or my husband?
Yeah.
I think extra small.
Okay.
So it was basically because everybody loved your attitude, your positivity, and the way you've been riding. So congratulations.
Really, thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much to Rafa, our headline sponsor. And we were played in there by the presentations this morning, our joint winners in Peddlers de Charme, Corin Rivera and Lizzie Banks. It was a dead heat, a tie, so in the Twitter poll that we ran. So they both received a Peddlers de Charme t-shirt and both seemed very happy.
They were thrilled, weren't they? I actually don't think I've ever witnessed someone being so thrilled, but they were just delighted.
I think we have the advantage of presenting them in the final stage when they're all a little bit demob happy anyway. Yeah. They were just delighted to have made it this far, I think. Yeah, but it was nice to give them something to celebrate at the start of the day, wasn't it?
Well, Corin Rivera put up a good fight today, didn't she? Defending champion. And she was in that breakaway. She's left with a jersey. I think you spoke to her at the finish, one of you?
I did. Yeah. Should we hear from her now?
It seems like you've taken the jersey nonetheless, not the overall win. How do you feel?
No, I think I'm super stoked. I think it's a really hard course this year. I think Liana and Leah were our best cards for GC. Not on my top form so far. But we just have to be realistic. You know, the girls are stronger than me, and that's just how it is sometimes. And I'm happy to do my job and do the best that I can.
Do you feel it wasn't really a course this year that suited you as much as last year then?
Yeah, a little bit of that and just not on my top shape right now. No, I'm still happy with it and came away with the sprint jersey. So, yeah, it maybe was a little bit too hard for me. But that's a step I can make sometime in the future, I think.
And given your form and what you've seen of yourself so far this season, what's next? What can you expect next?
I head home tomorrow back to the U.S., race nationals, and hopefully I can defend since this week was supposed to be my last week in the national jersey, but I ended up wearing this sprint jersey all week. I guess that's my new motivation now to keep that jersey.
Well, that was Corin Rivera, who was very active in today's final stage, but the stage was won by Amy Peters of Bulls Dolmans, who's been, I mean, dare I say, has ridden sort of a la Zubeldia onto the podium, hasn't she?
Yeah.
So she finished third overall, and she's been lurking around. I mean, Yolene Doerr won two stages in the race, and she led the bunch through the final kilometre. We saw them go around the country park here before coming into the finish, and Yolene Doerr was on the front. Somebody suggested that she was leading out Amelie Didericsen, but it was actually Amy Peters that she was leading out, and Amy Peters won in the end from Leah Kirchman and Demi Vollering up there. You mentioned
incredible.
Her in your... sort of the same. She's so versatile, isn't she?
And I think just at a really exciting time in her career as well. She's, 22? She's had this breakthrough spring. And I feel like every race that we see her in, she shows a different side to herself. I mean, she was saying at the start of the stage, are we going to hear from her? Shall I not preempt
it
too much?
Why don't we hear from her?
Okay, well, she was saying at the start of the stage, this.
So, Damie, sitting fourth on GC, coming into the final stage, you pretty happy with your position? Were you expecting this?
Yeah, I'm really happy. I didn't expect this. I said, before I came here, I hope I'm top 10 in the GC. But fourth is pretty well, so I'm very happy with that.
It's been an amazing season for you so far. What does this race tell you about your potential development as a rider, even?
I hope I can grow much more. I can do a lot of more training, so I think I will grow automatically. So, yeah, I will see.
What is it about this race that you think has suited you this week?
The climbing, that makes all races a hard one. I think I have a big motor. I'm more sort of like a diesel, so I need a long distance or a hard race to be the best. So that suits me.
And yet you did so well in the flat stages as well. So yeah. I mean, it seems like you're developing into something of an all rounder, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So that was Demi Vollering. Demi, is that correct? Orla, you were correcting my pronunciation.
Yeah. Well, because they all pronounce it Demi.
Demi.
Demi Vollering.
Okay, thank you. Very bright prospect, as you say. And we were talking about Bulls Dolmans as well. They leave with half of the stages and you know, a very successful week for them, obviously. On the podium as well, Chrissy Majerus has been up there in the King of the Mountains jersey as well. So they've
Queen of the Mountains jersey.
Sorry.
You're the Queen of the Mountains yourself and you've already forgotten.
Yeah, sorry.
That's why he wants to keep that title.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Watch it, Christine. I think you spoke this morning to Amy Peters, today's stage winner.
Yeah,
Rose.
I did. I spoke to Amy Peters this morning. She wasn't giving much away, but I think that's kind of her style. She certainly didn't say that she was by any means, you know, going to line up for the sprint at the end, but keeping her cards close to her chest. But I guess she's been doing that the whole time, because although she's finished third overall, I don't feel like... No. I actually said that to her this morning, that we didn't feel like I'd seen much of her, but then she gave me a bit of a look like, you know, how dare you?
Maybe that's why she wasn't overly exuberant in the interview.
Yeah, yeah, then you'll be able to hear my voice going a little bit creaky as I try and battle against this slight glare.
Backpedal.
But yeah, I mean, Amy Peters has finished third on GC, and Christine Majerus has finished fourth on GC. And so, you know, even though we... And three out of six stages... here's what Amy Peters had to say before the stage and Christine Majerus had to say after.
Amy, you kind of stealthily moved onto the podium at this race. Do you think that today it's about consolidating that podium place or it's about moving up?
I don't know. I think a lot can happen today and then we will try the best to make out of it. But I think we had already a really good week with the whole team and I think I showed also some short results already. Maybe not a win, but we won two times with Jolien. And I hope we can do something good today with the team.
Do you think that today the race will break up?
I have no idea, actually. I think it will be hard because I think Cassie is only 1 second behind Lizzie. So there will be a big fight for the win. And it's still a lot can happen. I'm on 32 seconds, I think. But I also have Christine behind me. So we have still two of the team in top five. So we can still do a lot.
And do you think the fact that everyone is looking at Trek and Canyon SRAM to do a lot of the work, that can help Bulls Dolmans?
Maybe it is, but I think they also, for sure, they will look at us because they also saw that we are also shot in the general. And it's always, every race, it's always the same teams, they look to each other. So I don't think we have some free time to go away, but of course it makes it a bit easier for us that Trek and Canyon are fighting against each other.
You seen that one seemed like a perfectly executed Bulls Dolmans plan today.
It was nice to have Chantal in the breakaway so we could sit behind and just wait and see. It was actually a pretty dangerous break for the GC riders, so they kept it close and then closed it. And then for the final sprint, we made the decision in the last 20k to go for Amy, having me and Jolien in the last lead out on this twisty cornering track was actually the best decision, and I'm really happy she did it.
And of course, Amy's right up there in GC as well.
Yeah.
Was it, but people weren't necessarily looking at her, people were kind of focusing on the battle between Kasia and Lizzie. Do you think that kind of helped you guys execute your plan today?
Yeah, obviously they were watching each other a little bit. I mean, we were a little bit too far though to fight for one and two. I mean, you can get 30 seconds back in the intermediates sprint. So we were just focusing on keeping that position and going for the stage win. Maybe you all think that you didn't see Amy a lot this week, but if you finish third and fourth here in the GC, it means you were with the strongest and. I think we can be happy with that, yeah.
And winning half the stages that were possible.
Yeah, that's a good statistic.
Hi, I'm Sarah Storey. I'm the Academy Principal of the Skoda DSI Cycling Academy. Well, here at the concourse, just above this amazing track here at the London Velodrome, we've got what bikes set up, we've got some turbo trainers set up, and we're about to do our testing day to select five applicants for the Skoda DSI Cycling Academy for 2019.
So I've been cycling from quite a young age. I actually started in mountain biking. I raced downhill for a few years, and then I started an apprenticeship, and I thought about to be sensible after that, so I picked up road cycling, and I did a few triathlons, and then, I've been road racing for a few. This is my second year road racing now and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm Lucy, I'm from Wrexham in North Wales. I come down this morning so I've had an early start. I've actually got a cycling blog, so I do a lot with that. I've organised quite a few cycling events for women. I've done 2 mountain bike events that I've organised, and then last year I organised a Women's Day of Crit Racing at Mars Tracks in North Wales, so I'm looking forward to doing some more of that. I'm thinking of organising another crit race at the end of the year, so just to get more girls into, young girls particularly, into cycling, because it gave me a lot of confidence, particularly from doing downhill. You just get thrown into an uplift trailer and have to talk to people, so I gained a lot from it, so I'm hoping I can do similar with other girls.
Thank you very much indeed to Škoda for supporting the Cycling Podcast Femina for a second year and getting us around the women's tour in such style.
And always and stylish.
And back to London tonight. We've got a 4-hour drive ahead of us, and I'm sure Škoda will get us there within the speed limit, but in no time at all.
In comfort, at least.
Before we Rose ride London to Brighton tomorrow morning.
I know. Can you believe it?
Not really.
No. I'll be cheering you on from the air as I fly back to Amsterdam. I'll give you all a wave.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, actually, the time that you're flying back, we won't even have started.
That's true, actually.
I'm
giving myself
Amsterdam
the least
the
sleep.
Start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the winner of the race here, Lizzie Dagnan, and I guess that is a surprise. It certainly was a surprise to her. First, as you said, or the first ever repeat winner of this race. Her first win since returning. And I think, given that originally, in her original plan, this was going to be her first race back, wasn't it? So she's ahead of schedule.
Yeah, that was the original plan. And then the subsequent plan was just to use this race to sort of tie up all the loose ends of her first block of racing. She said at the start of the week she just wanted to consolidate that block, and it felt like she wanted to get home as quickly as possible, which I guess she did, being the winner. But what an amazing week it's been for her. And I just love this as a story, really, because we've been talking about the crowds along the road over the last week and how it's maybe not been quite as much as we've seen in the last couple of years. A home winner for any race, wherever it is in the world, always really helps with local coverage, with local support. And I think it's a brilliant story, the fact that she is one of the very few mothers in the peloton. And I hesitate to say in any way that anyone who does that then shows what can be done, because that's total rubbish, because these people are absolute one-offs, they're outliers. But I just think, I mean, I mentioned it in a podcast before, where as an elite athlete, you have to, by your very job definition, become incredibly selfish. As a mother, by your job definition, you have to put your wishes and needs second to that of your child. And I think it's phenomenal that she has managed to balance that. And I think a large part of it might be as well, I was saying this to you, Richard, the other day, the fact that she didn't seem to feel any pressure coming into this race, she didn't think of herself as being necessarily a contender at all, means an awful lot of pressure disappears, doesn't it? And I think the freedom that comes with a lack of responsibility can be a wonderful gift, really. And that's something that she referenced in her chat at the end of the race, because I caught up with her just after she crossed the finish line. Shall we hear from her now? I'm doing a Richard now, asking as a question instead of stating as a fact. Let's hear from her now.
Congratulations, look like you won.
It looks like, yeah. I did not expect that at the start of this week, so just delighted, really. Lots of words, really.
How much does it mean to you, given everything, given the birth of your child, coming back after that, the incredible season you've had already, and now this, the first win as a mother?
Yeah, I know. I mean, obviously, I've been trying not to think about all her at home, and I just can't wait to see her tonight now, and I'm just really proud of myself and my family for all the help they've given me to be here.
And is it starting to sink in what you've actually done? The fact that you've taken that time out, that you've had your daughter, now she'll know that in her lifetime her mother's a winner.
Yeah, and her father too. Yeah, I mean, it's not really about that. Like, the perspective you gain from having a year out of professional sport is amazing, and my attitude has just been about enjoying it, and I've never had that attitude before, and it's really paying dividends. Like, I'm in the best team in the world, I feel like, from a support perspective, and just the women around me just lift me up, so
yeah. You said at the start of the week that you just wanted to get this race done to consolidate the first block of racing. So were you bluffing, or did you really not expect to finish the week like this?
I was definitely not bluffing, no. I really did not expect that, no.
So that was Lizzie Deignan, the winner of the race. And worth remarking on her consistency here as well. She was 13th on stage one, and that was her worst stage placing of the week. Eighth. She was eighth today. She's been second. She's been first. But she's been remarkably consistent. And, you know, when you looked at that stage, there were clues there. Even she led in the group, just there was a little split, and she led in the sort of second wave of riders, and just her sheer consistency, I think, shows she's been in tremendous form.
She hasn't won a race since August 2017. Obviously she took that year out to grow a child and then give birth to a child, and that must really put you in an unknown land, really. You know, you've been out of racing for so long. We know that women's racing changes so much so quickly these days, so she wouldn't have known what her form was like coming back into racing, never mind what the racing scene was actually like. And it makes it all the more impressive, I think.
I think also, I mean, we should actually, you know, give credit to Kasia Niewiadoma as well, because Lizzie only won by 2 seconds in the end. I mean, that means that's a good sign for a good race, isn't it, winning by 2 seconds. But I have to say, now I'm going to give credit to Bob Varney, because he did mention this to me, and I was thinking, should I steal that and take that's my own idea, but that would be a Richard thing to do, and I would possibly no, I'm joking. But she actually, on stage two, over those, 60 kilometres of that cyclopark, she gained 10 seconds on that one stage, because she came second in two intermediate sprints, so those are worth 2 seconds each, so that's 4 seconds, and she came second on the stage, which is worth 6. So that's 10 seconds that she gained on that really short little stage right at the top, and then she only won it by 2 seconds.
It's clever riding, so, as well, isn't
as
it?
As we were standing there, completely underwhelmed by that stage, and thinking it was pretty boring.
Yeah.
The race was actually being won before our very eyes. Well, Kasia Niewiadoma went into the stage with a chance still of winning the race overall. It didn't happen for her. She gave it a good shot, but I spoke to her at the finish, and Orla, you spoke to Ronnie Lauka. Let's hear from Kasia Niewiadoma and then her sports director at Canyon SRAM, Ronnie Lauka.
It was super hard. From the start, there were so many attacks, and everyone wanted to make this race hard, even though we already raced super hard for 5 days. So yeah, it's always extremely difficult here in UK. You have terrain is undulating, so all the time you have to keep pushing, and there's no time to rest. So at the end of the day, you're just like a piece of crap.
And in the end, no opportunities today to try and get that jersey back from Lizzie Deignan.
We tried. I mean, my team did an amazing job. I kind of feel sorry for them, because they were chasing the breakaway super hard just to bring everything down and to give me opportunity to sprint. I got fourth, so definitely I feel kind of stupid that I have no sprinting legs, and I have to work on that. But yeah, as I said, my team did an amazing job, so I'm super proud of them, and yeah, thanks to them I'm on the second place, which is also cool.
And what's next for you? Are you going to the Giro Rosa?
Yeah, definitely I'm gonna take a few days off just to rest my body, and then I go to Giro. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of riders have missed this race to prepare for that. Do you have any, or did you have any concerns about that, or were you determined to come back here?
I love this race. I won it once, and definitely I would love to come back here and repeat this success. About the Giro, I'm not really stressing out, because I know that there are still plenty of things that I have to improve in order to win this race, so I will just take it easy and a smile on the face with my team and just see what happens day by day.
Ronnie, second overall in the race, how will you take that when you've had time to reflect on this year's Women's Tour?
We are happy with the outcome of the tour. I mean, we have tried everything we have with the group. The group has gone really deep to, first of all, to bring Kasia into the position that she can win that stage, to bring her up in GC. Now trying to make the impossible happen, to turn over the GC and get a second ahead of the current leader. But it didn't turn out that way. But I'm proud of the riders. I'm very happy with what they have achieved together and how they have gotten closer this week, because they really had to suffer.
What was the game plan for today? Was it to try to get those intermediates, or was it more based in the finale?
So we had We have looked at the profile. We said the long climb is too far away from the finish. It's not steep enough to make a difference. And so we said we have one little chance, and this is the one we're going to go for. And we commit 100% to that little chance, because it was with at kilometer 91, there was a sprint, and that sprint was uphill as it can be here. So we said, okay, if there's something uphill that suits us, that's a chance we have, let's try it. And they all committed towards that. They really went deep. It was pretty much our finish line. And we said, after that, we just need to sit in. Unfortunately, it didn't work out our way, but we have tried it, and that makes me happy and proud.
Any regrets, do you think, if you look back in the 6 days of racing, any opportunity that you might have had to grab 2 seconds, 3 seconds, that would have made the difference?
At the moment, not. I don't know any situation where, say, now, okay, the riders, they have totally messed up in that situation, and we would have been able to take the win in this tour if we would have done better on that particular point. I'm not aware of it now. I will think about it, but as of now, I'm very happy with the riders, and I have no idea what could have been better.
A great team effort, then.
Congrats to the winner of the tour. She is a deserved winner. We tried everything we have, so we couldn't beat them.
Well, we heard from Kasia Niewiadoma there, and then Ronnie Lauka. Kasia Niewiadoma is going to the Giro Rosa. A few people have been asking about this supposed incompatibility between the Women's Tour and the Giro Rosa. I mean, playing down her chances at the Giro, saying that she's going into it feeling quite relaxed and not. She thinks she's still a couple of years away, that she still has to improve on various aspects of her riding to challenge for the overall win there, and she is still very young, remember. But she's going there, and another one who's going there is Elisa Longo Borghini, who's been a very strong teammate to Lizzie Dine, especially on stage 5. I spoke to her at the finish. She was in a bit of a rush. We'll not play it because she was in a bit of a rush, and it was all a bit. You know,
she didn't want to talk to you, did she, Richard?
It was a bit.
Let's face it.
It was a bit clipped, shall we say? Anyway, I did manage to extract some information from her, and she is clear that her riding this week as the loyal teammate, she expects payback at the Giro. Lizzie Dagenham won't be there, of course, but Longo Borghini is definitely going to that race as the leader. She's always very direct, actually, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
She doesn't beat around the bush. She said very clearly that at the Giro it's her time. So she looks to be in, you know, she looks very strong, and she always looks very strong, but she played a key role in Friday's fifth stage. And so there are a couple of riders to watch at the Giro who have ridden here, and it'll be interesting to see how they get on. A rider who was riding her first women's tour was Anna Christian for Drops, which I was surprised to learn at the start of the week.
Yeah, I thought she had ridden this before, actually.
No, she's done like Tour de Yorkshire. Mm. She's also done very long stages. So she did the Giro Rosa last year with which had the Zonkalan in it, and obviously that's 10 stages. So it's not that she hasn't done long races before, but this is her first women's tour, and she had some very interesting observations to make on it. So Anna, you've just completed your first women's tour. How was it?
Brutal. Yeah, it was enjoyable, but yeah, it was really hard day by day, but I'm glad I've got to the finish now.
Were there any particular moments that you thought was particularly hard, or
maybe that last 25k today, to be honest with you? I kind of ended up in a little group, got dropped at the back, and then yeah, that was taking a while for the k's to sit down, but brutally hard. Probably say just, I think everything about it, the weather's been hard, the routes have been really hard, the racing's been hard, so it's all together, it's just all added up to just be a brutal week.
And how does it compare to other racing that you've done in the past?
Yeah, I was just saying this before, actually. I was just talking to someone when I crossed the finish line, and I actually reckon I feel it was harder than the Giro that I did last year. Yeah, I guess the Giro is longer and obviously a lot more mountains and stuff, but I think just the roads, British roads, are just hard to race on, aren't they? You know, you don't really get that smooth kind of roll along. Like that last bit today was just up and down, wasn't it? But yeah, I definitely think it's one of the hardest races I've done.
And how have your nerves held up through the week? Did you, as soon as you were on the bike for the first stage, did you relax, or was every day a bit of a challenge?
Coming into it, yeah, I was really nervous, but then I think when you get the first stage out of the way, it kind of, you settle into it then, aren't you, and you just, yeah, go day by day. I think I was more nervous about the second stage, to be honest with you. I was glad that one was out of the way.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science and Sport for supporting the Cycling Podcast Femina. You ready, the pair of you?
Oh, yes. Are we going to do it again? When does it become tiresome?
I think that was a couple of days ago, but
Fair enough.
No, we'll do it again. Well, we won last time.
Do one last time. One last time for all time's sake.
This is excellent for Science and Sport because it'll be lodged. We've already had people on Twitter saying it's lodged in their brain all day.
Yeah.
And then that's only a good thing.
Yeah, obviously. Should
we
do it?
More bang for your buck, Science and Sport.
Scienceandsport.com. Enter the code
SISCP25. SISCP25. CP25.
Oh, yeah.
SAS CP25. Woo!
Thank you. Excellent. So listen, girls.
Yes, boy.
Ladies.
Hey, boy.
Do you prefer ladies or girls or women?
Women. Females.
I just prefer Orla and Rose, actually. Rose and Orla.
Okay.
I know, I don't actually give two hoots what
no,
you call us, really.
Just trying to.
I'm called a lot worse than girls.
Yeah. Revelations in the top 10. Is Lizzie Banks a revelation?
Yep.
She is to me.
Yep. So, yeah.
She finished seventh in the end. Leah Thomas, her teammate at Bigla Pro Cycling, was eighth. And they've been pretty inseparable all week. They were both very active again today, going in different moves. Leah Thomas was quite a threat, actually, in that first big break, wasn't she? She was the highest placed rider on GC, I think.
I think she was.
So, yeah, they had a real good go today. And you know, good on them for not just settling for their overall positions, because they were highly placed overall. And then Lizzie Banks had a go towards the end. Both very emotional at the finish, both really pleased with their efforts. And here's what they both had to say.
From what we could follow the race, sounds like you were very active today. Can you tell us what happened out there?
Yeah, it was a really aggressive race from the start. Tacks were flying left and right, and our goal for the day was to get in the early break and maybe try to get some seconds and move up a little bit on GC, because everything was so close from fourth place downish. So it was a tall order. There's only three of us here, and we were able to execute that, and so that was pretty exciting.
And you had quite a lead at one point. What was it like in that? And it was a strong big group as well. How did it feel once you were away?
Once we were away, we worked really well together. Started to ease up a little bit on the QOM, so I tried to tack to bring hopefully people who were willing to work, but there were only a couple riders who were really interested in keeping the break going at that point. But I think it was a really good effort and a good shot, and it was really a fun race.
What was the climb like, Black Mountain?
Windy. There was pretty much a headwind on most of the climb, so it was a it wasn't that steep, which was nice, but the wind definitely played a factor in the attack for sure.
And maybe just a bit too far from the finish as well to break things up.
Yeah, I mean, you always have the possibility when you're up in the road, anything can happen, and so we took a gamble, kind of go all in. And that's all we can ask. So,
you started the race with just four riders, two of you in the top 10 overall. I guess you reflect on a successful week.
Definitely. I think we really raced well as a team this week and really managed our number disadvantage really well. And I'm really proud of how we worked together and really focused and weren't scared to try. And I think that's the most important thing when you race. You can't win if you don't try. And each day we learn more and we get stronger, and one day it'll all work out, and that's all we can ask.
Lizzie, I can see that you're good friends and you race well together.
Yeah, Leia's amazing. Oh, I'm like so emotional because I'm just overwhelmed. Because yesterday she put in such an incredible attack and it didn't pay off, but she was so close and she was so strong and she was so disappointed. And today she just she just proved her class. She was out there for so long. She did such a massive attack and then she still came back to the bunch. And then I was struggling, even though I'd been in the bunch all day, and she dragged me over the hills and she was trying to leave me out in the sprint. And yeah, Leia's a really good friend of mine and a really incredible teammate, and I'm so proud of her.
So that was Leah Thomas and Lizzie Banks from Bigla, who started with four riders and finished with three, two of them in the top 10. So, very impressive. What are you doing, Orla?
I'm just thinking about Leinster story. Okay. Like I often do. Why you look surprised?
Normally you just carry on talking. Well, we exactly. all just carry on talking. I saw it happens.
A camera in my face.
You love it.
Anyway, I spoke to Mick Bennett, the race director at the finish, reflecting on the week. And it has been a bit of a different race, 6 days instead of five. And certainly with tougher courses towards the end. So here's what he said.
The riders, the teams were asking, we spoke about this the other day, they were asking for harder stages. You gave them it this year. Are you happy with how it's gone?
Well, I'm happy with the way it's turned out. You know, we've got Lizzie, who's just come back after having a baby. Her last, I think, 645 or 47 days. And to come back and win the biggest race, well, to me, in the world, for women, stage race, is an awesome feat for her, and it says an awful lot for her tenacity, her recovery, and her drive, and it all goes well for the World Championships.
We've seen some terrific racing the last couple of days, but you said it was a race of two halves when I spoke to you before the race, and we did see three stages where there wasn't an awful lot of action. The last three stages have really made up for that. I don't know, are you already thinking next year about what changes you might make again? Is there maybe scope to make the race consistently hard throughout?
Well, one thing is certain for me, that no matter what you throw at these women, they come out on top. They really are fighters, tremendous athletes. Perhaps things may have been a little bit different in the top 10 had Marianne Vos and her had a full team here, and she hadn't had an accident. But, you know, it's all part of professional bike racing at men and women's level. So for me, going forward, we'll consult with them more whether they want more difficult stages. That would be a little bit of an issue for us, because I don't know how you make it more difficult. I think the weather has a lot to play. Had it been very wet today and cold, and the previous day in Carmarthenshire, maybe things could have been a little bit different. But to me, they're absolutely awesome. I don't know how they get through these stages that are as hard as this final stage and yesterday and come out smiling after it. I mean, you saw Katsia Nieuwendoma yesterday. She finished in Bilth Wells, and within 5 minutes, she looks as if she's not been on a bike. And I think it's just an amazing recovery powers at the top level.
Time trial, maybe? Would that be an addition?
Well, it would be an addition because we haven't had one yet.
Mick Bennett being typically generous with his thoughts there. I love it. He's so lyrical sometimes, isn't he? We love you, Mick.
Well,
but, yeah. But you know, he answered the question incredibly accurately.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very literal sense.
Yes.
He answered the question. But I think, you know, I think they will look at that. And Lizzie Dagnan was asked about that afterwards as well, and she's not a fan of time trials, but said she would welcome it. I think it would shake it up a bit.
I think it would make it more of a rounded stage race, wouldn't it?
Because, and do you know what, the most rounded stage race, which is something then it could claim, couldn't it, if we had Summit Finish time trial, don't we think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Giro Rosa has a I'm questioning myself. Well, it has a time trial.
Well, had a very hilly time trial last year, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. One of then, really? I guess. Yeah. One of the very few stage races.
But it would
scrap that. Yeah. It would just make it a more rounded race.
But it would kind of earn its title of, obviously, a stage race is just a race with more than one stage. But, I mean, what you expect from a stage race is for the riders to be tested in all types of terrain, and for the winner of a stage race to be the person who can do a time trial, can survive at the front in the sprint and get up a mountain pretty niftily.
Yeah, Mick said they would consult again with the teams and the riders about, you know, changes or innovations for next year. And I guess, I mean, I know that you two play this down, but a priority has to be attracting more of the top riders in the world, I think. And
I don't play it down. I don't go into a race thinking about riders who are not there, I think. I go in looking at who's there and what that'll mean for the race. And we're only ever talking about two, really, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're not talking
exactly.
about anyone else who's not here.
I mean, we've got Vos, we've got Mulman, Nieuwendoma,
Dynan, yeah.
Longo Borghini. I mean, yeah, I don't think.
And I don't think a time trial. Well, I guess actually a time trial would certainly be attractive to both of those. Certainly Van Vleuten, but I don't think that would be enough to tear them away from Giro Rosa necessarily. I think we just accept that it's a that it's either it's their style of training for the Giro Rosa, either to compete here or not. But I would like to see it for sure, because Giro Rosa is known for being the toughest stage race, and so there are certain riders who will never be able to win that. And if you threw a time trial into this, it just opens up that door to a different kind of a rider then to be winning this.
Well, some of these questions we tackled, didn't we, in our press conference, which you've already recorded, and that will go out, I think, on Monday. So first ever press conference for the Cycling Podcast Femina. We got lots of questions and rattled through them. Some are very young listeners.
There was
very young listeners.
You didn't make me cry. I'm missing my children, and I heard one 4-year-old. I was like, "Oh, it's like my little girl."
And they ask the best questions, obviously. So, yeah. we will. Yeah,
good parenting skills there, I'd say.
Lots of good questions and interesting things, hopefully, as well as a bit of light relief, I think, in the press conference, hopefully.
I can't remember anymore.
Well, there was the question about
nicknames.
Spoiler alert. Nicknames and source material for your stories. And that was a lot of fun, that question.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. In fact, I don't know if you can hear songs playing in the background, but it's relevant to Rose's answer to that. All very cryptic. You'll have to listen.
Yeah. So we're at the end of our Women's Tour coverage, and it's been a blast. As we're blasted by wind here, hope that's not coming through too long. But
it's beautiful, beautifully sunny still. What a lovely way to finish it!
And it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a hell of a lot of fun, actually. I've really, really enjoyed it. Dare I say, I've enjoyed this year more than last year. I think the racing has been better. It's been more exciting, more dynamic.
Pardon? The company.
Well, you've been here traveling with us the whole race, and you weren't last year.
We
had to sort of join up with you at race starts and finishes last year, so it's been the three musketeers on the road together, which I've very much enjoyed.
It's been brilliant. How intense was that for you then, Richard?
Very intense.
We weren't sleeping in tents, we were sleeping in hotels.
Oh,
dear.
Terrible.
I'll leave the dad jokes to me. But it's been a good race. I mean, it did take a couple of days to get going, and at the start of the week, you know, there were a couple of stages that left me a bit cold, but Burton Dassett was fantastic. And the last three stages, well, have been great, and I think Friday's stage was brilliant, and a lot of credit for that, I think, goes to Kasia Niewiadoma for the way that she raced that. And and actually that reminds me that I think an extended episode on your day with Canyon SRAM is going to come out as a Friends special. That will go on the Friends feed for Friends of the Podcast. If you're not a friend of the podcast, you want to listen to that, sign up at thecyclingpodcast.com. We put out your episode last year from your day in the drops car. It was one of the most popular episodes of the year, so hopefully this one will be just as good, Orla.
No pressure.
But no, I think it was an interesting day from their point of view. They contributed a lot to the race through Niewiadoma, and you know, she made the race in the end as exciting as it was, I think, because she ran Lizzie Dagenham very, very close.
I think her and Trek, really. Sunweb promised much, and not that they didn't deliver, but they just weren't one of the teams battling it out in the end. But I think that Canyon SRAM and Trek really brought this race to life. It was brilliant.
Indeed. So, we should wrap things up and get on the motorway.
Yeah, Richard, I think you're going to drive. I would just say, do not go gentle into that good night. We have to make good time on the way back to London. We'll have to rage against the dying of the light. Early starts in the morning, all
very
around.
Very nice, literal take.
No road rage, don't worry.
Richard is actually pretty much halfway gone.
to the skies.
We're all sitting on the grass in a kind of picnic scenario, and Richard has just been slowly doing this last little section, been getting up.
He's on one knee at the moment, going to propose to both of us.
No, I'll tell you why that is. It's because I've got headphones on and I can hear the wind coming through the microphones, and I think it's my microphone. I'm trying to adjust my body so that the wind is not annoying the listeners. I'm always thinking of the listeners.
Always. The acrobatics have been very, very distracting for the last couple of minutes, I have to say.
Just pretend I'm doing my Chloe Hosking routine before the stage. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't. What did you do?
It's like what do you call it? Like that elasticy stuff, you know, that you stretch, you put between around your ankles, and you move your legs.
Elastic.
You can tell I don't spend much time in gyms. I don't know what it's called.
It's sort of
like the stretching band.
The stretching band, and she does it every morning, leaning against the camera.
Yeah, but there are very specific looking exercises and a routine that she has.
So you've done like the non-sporty version of that, the non-athletic looking version.
Oh, well, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Like we just sort of moved limbs around.
Like a hippo on a skateboard. listen, let's go. Thank you very much, Orla, for the week, for the company and the great podcasting.
Thank you both very much. And thank you to all the listeners who've both listened, been in touch, and that's three
things.
That's not both.
Thanks to all the listeners who've both listened. That sounds like there's two listeners.
Yeah. I was going to say who've both listened and been in touch, but then I added a third thing. So all the listeners who've listened, who've been in touch with us and kept us entertained with your tweets, and also who've come up to say hello to us at the start and finish lines every day. It's been lovely to put faces to Twitter handles, and it's just been lovely to interact with people and to feel like we're sharing this little racing journey with so many people. It's been lovely.
And thank you very much, Rose.
Well, thank you. I mean, I just completely agree with what Orla said. It's been such a beautiful week, and it's been so nice to meet new people. We met a fabulous charity, didn't we?
Sugar, we did.
Which we wanted to mention, called the Blossom.
The Blossom Charity, it's called. And they've been following this race around every day. They started up a few years ago. And what they do is they, in Suffolk, so they started in Suffolk, but they've been taking their charity on the road, and they try to teach confidence to women and empowerment. And they work in different environments, be it family health centres or different clinics and charities and outreach programmes, trying to just help people women who need that extra confidence boost in their lives. And I just thought it was a wonderful, wonderful endeavour, a brilliant charity, and something that if you need that in that time, in a time in your life, could really, really make a difference to your overall life journey, I think. So it's a wonderful charity, Blossom Charity, and you can look them up online.
Thank you. Well, on that note, shall we go?
Shall we? Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. What do you say?
Hit the road.
You're listening to the cycling podcast Feminine, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.